Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, NYC, and Jose Sucuzanay, the Ecuadorian immigrant who was beaten in what police are calling a hate crime in Bushwick over the weekend, is on life support today. He has been declared brain dead, and police upgraded charges against his attackers to murder. Sucuzanay was walking home with his brother Diego early Sunday morning when a group of men in an SUV allegedly shouted anti-gay and anti-Latino slurs, then attacked them and beat Sucuzanay with a baseball bat. The brother Diego and witnesses have identified the attackers as African-American. With me now to talk about the incident and what it says about interethnic relations in our city and in that neighborhood are Ana Maria Archila, co-executive director of Make the Road New York, a membership organization based in Bushwick that works on immigrant rights and civic involvement, and the regional director of the Metropolitan Council of the NAACP, Kenneth Cohen. The NAACP chapter he heads in Flushing has worked to connect African-American and immigrant communities. Kenneth and Ana Maria, welcome to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Ana Maria, what are people in the neighborhood saying about this attack?
So people in Bushwick are really horrified about the possibility or the reality that a crime or an attack that's motivated by hatred, by homophobia, by racism, would happen in a neighborhood as diverse as Bushwick. And it would happen anywhere in New York City. I think people are appalled. People are also scared. I think we've heard different comments from folks in the neighborhood about saying, well, I'm Latino. What's going to happen to me? I'm gay. I'm transgender. What's going to happen to me in my neighborhood? So, I think that there is real concern. There is also kind of renewed energy around demanding that, the leaders of our city really come out in support of the things that are basic for human dignity, the protection of immigrant families, immigrant workers, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people.
Ken, when we hear about a hate crime, I think the image that leaps to mind for most people is a white assailant, either the gang of teenagers accused in the Lucero slaying on Long Island, another Ecuadorian, or a KKK-type group. But the allegation in this case is that the assailants were black and motivated by bias against Latinos and gay people. Do you find much animosity toward Latinos among younger African Americans, or how's your reaction at the NAACP chapter?
Well, the NAACP is outraged at this event, that anyone could be attacked and assaulted and beaten and by anybody, whether it be black, white, or any ethnicity, and we are totally against these types of actions. We, of course, have seen in other communities attacks, inter-ethnic attacks in other communities between Asian, African-American, African-American, Latinos, Asian, and so forth in Flushing. So we have worked real hard to quell those types of actions and work together to bring us closer together and have a better understanding of each other. I think, though, there is a systematic problem that's created, especially here in New York City, due to locale. And it's something that we all need to work on in our governmental agencies, through our elected officials, through our nonprofit groups such as Make the Road and the NAACP and of course the New York Immigration Coalition.
What do you mean a special problem based on locale?
Well, New York City is definitely made up of several segregated communities. Mm-hmm. It has a history of that. The Lower East Side in the 1800s, 1900s, Harlem has always been an enclave. Parts of Brooklyn have been enclaves for blacks and enclaves for the Orthodox Jewish communities. Certain sections of Flushing, Bayside. We have promoted these segregated communities for years, and it's something that we really need to take a look at, especially as this city becomes more diverse and more people. I mean, this has always been the melting pot of the world, and the melting pot has always overflowed, and people now live anywhere and everywhere. We must start to open our minds and educate each other that we are people. We have to look past nationality, where people come from. We have to be more open. We have to understand, as the African Americans coming back post World War II were segregated against in housing across New York City. I mean, this is nothing new. I mean, the NAACP has been in this for 99 years.
I do want to invite some callers to get in here, and then I'll let you, Anna Marie, react to that. Mm-hmm. Our phone number, 212-433-WNYC. A special shout-out for anyone in Bushwick, anyone from the Ecuadorian community, anyone African-American, anyone gay. That doesn't leave anybody out, really. But 212-433.
That's right.
212-433-9692. Anna Maria Archila, co-executive director of Make the Road. What were you going to say?
So I think that Kenneth is right, that there is definitely kind of a reality of segregated communities, even within a city like New York. I think that there is another reality that really is very apparent in this event, is that homophobia touches everyone. You don't have to be gay to be perceived as gay, to be treated as gay, to be treated as a second-class citizen. You do not have to be an undocumented immigrant to be treated as an undocumented immigrant and to be treated, really, as a person that deserves less rights. And I think that the other reality that I think shapes and kind of is complicit in events like this is public policy and public and leaders and elected officials that play into this. Like, when we think about this attack, it really brings back a lot of the very recent memories of what happened in Long Island, and where another Ecuadorian immigrant was attacked in a particular county that has tolerated hate speech and really kind of hateful rhetoric and policies. And, you know, when we think about, for example, you know, what's happening in the state Senate right now, and how some of our Latino elected officials are saying, you know,
trying to rise to power on the back of opposing gay marriage.
Exactly. And so I think, you know, we have to force our elected officials to understand the connections between the rights of people of color and LGBT communities. And those two basic kind of struggles for dignity cannot be separated. And we see the case here.
Megan Bushwick, you're on WNYC. Hello, Meg.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I am organizing a vigil for Sunday night, this coming Sunday at 7 p.m. in Bushwick. And so far I've gotten the DA, Charles Hines, to agree to come. And Charles Gurria, Chief of Civil Rights Bureau, is going to be there. I'm trying to get some other officials there to draw attention to this, but can I announce where we're going to meet?
Sure.
It'll be at 49 Bogart Street. That's at the Morgan stop on the L train. And we're going to walk from there at 7 o'clock over to the scene where it happened, and at 8 o'clock have a few moments of silence. So I'd love to get the word out.
Meg, thank you.
Meg, actually, my organization is also organizing a vigil that same day at 2 o'clock, so it would be great for us to coordinate and try to work together.
All right, so Meg, get in touch with Make the Road, New York.
Thanks.
And Augustine in Spanish Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Augustine.
How you doing, Lenny? You got a great show going on there. I really believe that this attack was basically based on race. You know, these people just jumped out and did this, and it's very hard for me to understand. Nobody's even been arrested in this case. I think somebody had to see something.
I think he's right.
Come forward, man.
Ken, go ahead.
I think that we, as the communities, must push not only the police department but the mayor. We're outraged. This should not ever happen, and no matter who perpetrates the crime, we have to put pressure on them to do their job. They have to find these individuals. They have a sketch. They have a partial plate. We need to make sure, and I know people are the outcry is building. The momentum on this issue is somewhat that we need to see more from the New York City Police Department.
And if these guys are, you know, the ones who they think it is, or I guess they don't have individuals, but they have sketches, as you say, if they were out with this baseball bat, as has been reported,
does
that indicate that they were out for this kind of trouble? They were looking for, I mean, why does somebody go out on the street of Bushwick on a Saturday night with a baseball bat? Obviously, they weren't looking for a ball game.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, you know, it's hard for us to kind of try to understand what exactly was happening, but I think the reality that there is, that folks are not necessarily safe in their own neighborhoods, that there is kind of an element of that's of folks that are interested in engaging in violent attacks, I think is not new. I think that these were obviously there's a lot of attention on this case because the attack was so horrible, because there is somebody that's about to die, but there are other forms of violence that are constantly kind of happening in streets in New York City that do not get this kind of attention, and obviously we do need the NYPD to do a better job at policing without without obviously harassing communities, and also we need to do a better job at making sure that there is an environment of safety and of understanding, and I think that's the work of community organizations, faith-based organizations, elected officials. This is a huge task.
Barry,
it is very scary.
Barry in Williamsburg, you're on WNYC.
Hi, good afternoon.
Thank you.
Okay, I have two comments. First, about the murder issue. I believe that in Crown Heights, when Rosenbaum was killed, and after that, the community came together and a lot of healing was done. I think it can be a lesson and a way for the future of all communities, how the black community and the Crown Heights community came together after that, by now, and working together to heal hate and these kind of things.
It's a really wonderful thing to bring up, because there was so much positive work that really seemed to produce so much a fruit between the two communities after the Crown Heights riots in the early 90s. Ken, do you and that a lot of that work was particular to the particular tensions between, you know, Haitian immigrant groups and others who were black in the community and the particular Lubavitch Orthodox Jews who lived there. Do you think that particular work needs to be done between particular black and Latino communities in, you know, in ways that just hasn't come to public light all that much before?
Well, I think that's a good start. I think there, because of what's happening currently in New York City, once again, as we see an influx of new immigrants, I think for all there needs to be particular work. It boils back to education. Our children need to learn more and work more with each other. They are growing up in a unique atmosphere today. It even boils into the election of Obama. But the bottom line is we now have a vision that the NAACP has stood for and fought for 99 years. Now, we can work together and help each other, understand each other, live with each other, work with each other, understand that we all have the same common goals, the same thing that happened in Crown Heights, that we all just want to exist in the same communities and work hard to have a great community.
And here's a comment from BK on our webpage, identifies as a black homosexual and says, I can say with 100% authority that black bias against homosexuals is at least 10 times greater than that of black bias against Hispanics. Though I don't doubt reports of racial epithets, beating of Ecuadorians really isn't worth getting out of the van for in the black community. Gay bashing is. And we just have a minute left, but a quick reaction to that comment from each of you. Anna Maria?
Well, no, I think that homophobia is very real. I think people, our members, our organization has a whole project that's precisely focused on creating safe space in Brooklyn for gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people of color in this neighborhood. And people do feel a high level of violence, a high level of rejection, and that's why we have to do this work. And that's why it is absolutely important that our organizations do not get caught in the silos of protecting only the rights of, you know, those who are documented or undocumented, those who are gay or not, you know, that we actually build all the connections you know, discrimination against one actually spills against all the other groups.
So in our last 30 seconds, Ken, how do you do that?
Education. There is no other way. The perceptions of gay, these men did not know who these people were, and it turns out they weren't gay. They were just together, coming home, happy after an evening of religious, spiritual mm-hmm. uplifting and a little merriment.
And funny enough, I guess, from a culture, I guess, Ecuadorian, where it's more natural for two brothers to be physically holding themselves up arm in arm than it would be for men in America?
Well, in certain circumstances, everybody somewhat sometimes hold each other up after nights of merriment. So.
I hear what you're saying. All right. Ana Maria Archila, co-executive director of Make the World New York. Kenneth Cohn, regional director of the Metropolitan Council of the NAACP. He heads the chapter in Flushing. A really good discussion. Thank you both very much.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute. In a real estate where it's kind of iffy to buy property, more people in New York are looking toward renting to own. We'll explain it and see if it's right for you in a minute.
WNYC receives support from